He wanted to be fit for the job. He wanted to do it satisfactorily before the Lord. And so he sought first the kingdom of God. And because he did that, look how God richly rewarded him. Do you feel like you're sinking in disappointment and emotional pain? Do you want God's peace even in the midst of storms? Do you long to be a woman who walks in obedience and lives a life that is set apart? And lastly, are you ready to live a life that unapologetically reflects authentic holiness? Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm your host, Hannah, a writer, speaker, and certified biblical counselor. I've gained wisdom and learned some pretty hard lessons through suffering and how it can be a powerful vehicle for transformation. We face a constant temptation to throw in the towel and cave to the turbulence and the pressures of suffering and pain. My heart is to help you shift your eyes from the crash and onto the cross and to recalibrate in your faith and holiness. Join me as we press toward unpacking the heavy luggage of our heart in pursuit of a life that is built on the practical foundation of God's truth. To be marked means to be set apart, distinguished, unmistakable, and evident. The marked woman may be struck down, but she is not destroyed. She rises and recognizes that there is purpose in pain, and that she is a vessel poured out for God's use and perfected in His purpose. This woman is picking up her cross, knowing that the cost may involve suffering, but hidden within the tapestry of her suffering are woven threads of intimacy, trust, preparation, and maturity. You're listening to the She's Marked podcast. Healing happens here. Alas, we have come to day 5 of the 5 and 5. Thank you all so much for joining me this week. If you have not yet had the chance to get caught up on all 5 episodes, you have time to do that. After today, I'm going to be going back to my regular schedule of posting or releasing, rather, an episode once a month, unless I'm directed to do differently. And so we have arrived at the last day by God's grace, and I'm so thankful to Him for allowing this to take place yet again. And I want to say I have been blessed myself by all of the episodes, but I am especially feeling stirred about today's episode. If you go back to last year's 5 and 5, this is 2023, episode 25 entitled In Christ Alone, you'll see where that episode was slightly different from the 4 episodes that came before it. I tried to mimic that same format this year, where I give you 4 episodes that are guiding you, being very practical, coaching you, encouraging you. And then I come to episode 5, the last 5 and 5 episode, where it's a bit more riveting. It's a bit more convicting. It is where my main heart is revealed. I should say it's where the heart of God is truly revealed. So all of those prior episodes in the 5 and 5 are the buildup. But then we come to the climax on day 5, which is really getting down to business. Last year in the 5 and 5, I talked about In Christ Alone. So we talked about goal setting. We talked, wisdom and practical things for the year, things that we need to in order to overcome and win as believers throughout the year. And then I summed it up with only what is done for Christ will last. It is ultimately about Him. This life is fleeting. And so that is where I'm headed today. All these things are necessary. Everything that you've listened to and hopefully have found value in this week in the 5 and 5 is leading up to this very point on what this whole thing is really about. And ultimately, as daughters of the living God, what our highest aim should be in this life. God has given us different measures of faith. He has given us different assignments to accomplish while we're here. But one thing I think we should always be very cautious of is that our earthly pursuits, our present pursuits, should not overshadow our real purpose, our highest purpose, our supreme purpose, which I love that word, and I'm going to be mentioning that word again further along in this episode. So welcome. I kind of jumped into it because, like I said, I'm feeling really stirred in my heart. Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I am so very blessed and honored to be in this position. I'm so very blessed and honored to have you as a part of this community and have you tune in again with me today. I pray that this episode sets your pants on fire. I pray that this episode sets you on fire. I pray that this week has given you your marching orders in the spirit and has renewed your will to press forward. It has renewed your love for the Lord. It has renewed your strength for this journey. And so today's episode is Seeking First the Kingdom. How many of you have heard that very, very popular verse? It was given by Jesus as he gave the Sermon on the Mount. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And so I really enjoyed the prep work for today's episode. I dove into quite a few commentaries just to refresh myself, but I wanted to dig deeper. I want to gain more insight and more revelation on this, because this is what I consider to be a very thin line. As we live this life, as we set our goals, we can become very earthly focused. And in essence, there is nothing wrong with that. We do have to live. We, even if we're carrying out the will of God here, we have to make decisions. We have to navigate things. We have to live. We are here, right? We can't be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. But I love what I discovered in my Bible study in the commentaries of this verse. And it just kind of washed me over with renewed perspective, renewed wisdom that can only come from the throne of God. And I hope that you all can feel that and you all receive that today. So before we get into that scripture, Matthew 6:33, about seeking first the kingdom, I want to take it back to the Old Testament, to the book of 1 Kings. If you all have your Bible on you, go ahead and open up to this. If not, you can listen in, but I want to shape the framework. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon was asking for wisdom. Solomon was about to take over the kingdom. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions that his father, King David, gave him. Now, of course, he was not perfect in that, but he had a heart after the Lord as well, as his dad did. So let's begin by reading 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. I'm going to start at verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" Now, that is the end of verse 9. I'm going to read on just a little bit further, but Basically, Solomon is asking for wisdom. This version, the English Standard Version, does not explicitly say that, but he is asking God for wisdom. And I want us to note a few things. Solomon comes from wealth. He's a king's son. He knows the lavish life. He has seen the many victories of his father, and he was raised by this powerful king. And immediately, Solomon acknowledges that he is aware of his own fragility. He is aware of his own inability. He is aware of his own humanness. He is also aware that God is the giver of all, that God can give the wisdom, that God is over everything. He also realizes that it was God that appoints. He says, "You have made your servant king in place of David, my father." He refers to himself as a servant. Now, he's prepping to be king. So there is a humility that precedes Solomon. Let's keep going. Verse 10. It pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that no one like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." So that is 1 Kings 3, 1 to 14. I didn't bother reading 15. Ladies, let's just take a moment to inhale this in. Solomon starts with the lowest of humility. He recognizes his own state. He recognizes his position. He is a servant. He recognizes and admits, "I know nothing." He comes to God as the source. He recognizes that God is the source. God knows everything. God is the giver of all. He realizes that God has placed him in the position that he's in. And all of this pleased God. Why? Because Solomon was getting ready to be a king. He could have asked for riches. He could have asked for might and power. He could have asked to conquer. He could have even asked for protection. It didn't all have to be prideful things. He could have asked for protection and provision. He could have asked for all those things. But instead, he asked for wisdom and understanding. And here's the thing, what I'm not even sure that Solomon realized was that he had a portion. He already had the anointing of wisdom on him prior to him even just verbalizing it. Because it takes wisdom to even know or to consider praying and asking for wisdom. When your prayers are rooted in asking for wisdom, you fail to realize that you already have a portion of wisdom bestowed on you already, which is why your heart is thirsting for it even more. And so I just love that beauty. Sometimes I believe the calling and the gifting and the favor that God has placed on our lives, it has already been placed there, but it can come forward. It can blossom at a certain time, or sometimes he hides, he makes it hidden to us. But it's just beautiful to see that Solomon chose to pray for that. That demonstrated that the wisdom was already there, but now God was about to uncover it and propel it. And so because Solomon, in essence, sought first the kingdom of God, he recognized that his calling was great. He recognized that he was about to lead a great people, God's people. He wanted to be fit for the job. He wanted to do it satisfactorily before the Lord. And so he sought first the kingdom of God. And because he did that, look how God richly rewarded him. That rich reward is currently present today. There has never been another like Solomon. There has never been another blood and flesh as wise or as wealthy as Solomon. And so that promise that all these things will be added unto you, God kept it. And not only did he keep it, but he blew Solomon's mind. He far surpassed anything that Solomon could have conjured up the words to even ask for. So he says, I will give you a wise and discerning mind so that no one like you has been before and no one like you will arise after you. I'll give you what you have not asked, riches and honor, so that no other king will compare to you your entire life. And then if you keep my ways, if you keep my laws, if you walk in obedience, I'm going to add to your days. So now let's fast forward to our wonderful and precious Messiah giving the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And I want to break down this verse bit by bit. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I think this is a perfect time of year to talk about this because traditionally, at the start of a new year, we begin thinking deeply about plans. We think about it being a new quarter. We think about all the ways that we can and should be resetting. And we begin to goal plan. Even for those of us who are very active, we have earthly ministries, like our work is more ministry focused. We begin to set goals and we set marks and things that we want to accomplish and areas that we hope to move in, territory that we hope to gain. And we can even commit those things to prayer. But let me say this, especially to those of you who are in ministry, it can be easy and it is also very possible to be in ministry and not be walking with the Lord. It can be very easy and it's 100% possible to be in ministry, but you experience no intimacy with Jesus. You're working for Jesus, but you're not walking with him. There's a difference. And so I love the charge of this verse, seeking first the kingdom. What does that mean? I have a couple things noted here. Seek first to be righteous. Seek first the heart of God, the mind of God, the will of God. First meaning with regard to importance and prioritization. First meaning above all, keeping the main thing the main thing, letting it be our chief aim. You can be serving God, you can be saved, but your chief aim could very well not even be the kingdom of God. It could be your own kingdom. It could be your own troubles. It could be the focus of your life here. But seeking first the kingdom of God is seeking first to be righteous and seeking first his will, his mind, his way. The pulpit commentary says, seek ye the spread and accomplishment of God's kingdom. Seek ye personal conformity to the standard of righteousness. And I'll add to that, holiness. Boy, is that something that is missing. It's going down. It's becoming uncommon. Holiness is becoming uncommon. We see this unfolding in the quote unquote church today. I wouldn't even dare say that those places where unholiness is just oozing. I wouldn't even dare say those are houses of God. They're not. But we see in general, there is this shifting away from genuine, authentic holiness. And I think that happens for a number of reasons. I think that one, we begin to live. Well, first, we begin to create and then we live according to our own standards of holiness, which is a very dangerous thing because holiness is clearly defined and demonstrated for us throughout Scripture. We have to worship God in spirit and in truth. We cannot come before him any old way. I'm not going to get into that, ladies. I'm feeling pumped up right now. I'm not going to get into that today, though. There is a way to come before God. There is a way to circumcise our heart before him, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And in earlier episodes this week, I talked about moving and operating in the spirit of sincerity and truth. The Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary says, "The right state of heart with reference to heavenly and earthly things." Having the right state of heart with reference to heavenly and earthly things. I'm going to go on to mention a few more things from this particular commentary. The writer states, and I quote, "The keynotes of this sermon that Jesus gave on the Mount were the kingdom and the righteousness." Those two things, the kingdom and the righteousness. "The kingdom of God especially is the primary subject of Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. That kingdom which the God of heaven is erecting in this fallen world, with which are all the spiritually recovered and inwardly subject portion of the family of Adam under Messiah as its divine head and king." Now, let me break that down a little bit. I know that was a mouthful. We are the spiritually recovered. If you are saved, if you have accepted Yeshua as Messiah, if you believe in him, if you have laid down your cross and you are denying yourself and you are walking after his ways, you are spiritually recovered. Okay, so I'm going to read that quote again. "That kingdom which the God of heaven is erecting in this fallen world, with which are all the spiritually recovered and inwardly subject portion of the family of Adam under Messiah as its divine head and king." So that is referring to us. We are the kingdom of God. And I want us to really pay attention to something, especially the reason why all of this is important. If we just see this time here on earth as our time to physically learn, physically grow, get into a career, have a family, live comfortably, have all our meals, get fit, get in shape, do something meaningful to quote unquote change the world, and then we die, we have someone read a wonderful obituary for us, we have missed the point. We live in a fallen world. Another way that we can miss the point is if we think that, well, God created and devised this wonderful plan. Here came Satan. Here came Adam and Eve sinning. Here came a fallen world. And one day our Savior is going to come back. He's going to get us out of here. And that's it. Boom. Everyone goes to heaven and we're just celebrating and worshiping and partying forevermore. That's it. Can't wait till the Lord gets me out of this horrible earth. We've got it confused. Each of God's children play a significant role in the kingdom of God that is here on this earth and the kingdom that is to come that will be ruled by Messiah. In scripture, we see that we will be ruling and reigning with him. We'll be judging the angels. We have roles of authority. And so that's why it's important to begin getting into the practice now of who and what we will be then. It's important to remain faithful in the process of dying to self. It's important to remain in the process of growing in intimacy with the Lord. Anytime you feel the temptation, the deceiving temptation to become bored with the things of God, to become sort of passive to reading the Bible and studying because, okay, I've kind of read that scripture before. No, don't be deceived in that way. You are building fortitude for what is to come. You are building strength, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom for what is to come. You are preparing for what is to come. Going back to the two keynotes, remember I said the kingdom and the righteousness. So we just talked about the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The next part is the righteousness. The righteousness thereof is the character of all such. So when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we are one, we're seeking the what, and then we're seeking the why. The what is the kingdom, the why is the righteousness, because that is going to be and is our character, the righteousness. And how do we get our righteousness? By looking at God, by looking at the person of Jesus Christ, by being led by the Holy Spirit. We are being perfected in righteousness. These two focuses, kingdom and righteousness, and the command to seek them first, is making them the object of supreme choice and pursuit before and above all else. Now, I want to mention something, and I think that this can really, really help us to gain some deep understanding for why all of this, again, is even so important. And I just kind of started to allude to this a few minutes ago with the authority and the assignments and the things that we are preparing for in the future. I think it's going to be important for us to grab hold of understanding these two concepts of time, the present and the future. Now, we are currently in the present. If you're alive, you're currently in the present. You have not yet started your time clock in eternity. There are people who have already started their time clock in eternity. So when we think about the present age, it is a drop in a bucket compared to the future that is to come. And it's going to be important for us to grab hold of understanding these concepts of time, the present and the future. Now, I want to talk about the other part of that sentence, and all these things will be added. So when we understand our chief aim, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, once we grab hold that our present is a small fraction of eternity, once we grab hold of why that is important, because it will compel us to better prepare and how to direct our prayers and our focus, then all these things shall be added. God is aware of our basic needs, what we need for this present life. He does not turn a blind eye to that. Our needs will be granted as our gracious reward for not seeking them. And I took a part of that from that last commentary. Going back to the story of King Solomon, God gave him the answer to his prayers and the focus of his heart, and then some. They were his gracious reward for not seeking them. So essentially, ladies, we have nothing to worry about. But there's a matter of testing that comes, because we have to have faith that we don't have anything to worry about. That as we begin to raise up the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as that begins to elevate as the desire and the ache of our hearts, as that becomes our true desire deep within, above anything that we could set in motion or plan or goal set for ourselves, he will take care of us and then some. Could we dare to do that? Could we dare to desire to see God lifted up and his will to come to pass in this present age and in the age to come? Could that be the cry of our hearts beyond anything else? I think of that song, Let Praises Rise. If you haven't heard it, it's a wonderful worship song. But the chorus goes, all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. I would add to that, all I want is for your kingdom to be glorified, for your kingdom to be lifted high. All I want is for your righteousness to be glorified, is for your righteousness to be lifted high. All I want is for your will to be glorified, is for your will to be lifted high. Ladies, is that the cry of your heart? As you plan and project for this year, will you choose to seek first the kingdom of God, seek it above all else as your chief aim, and his righteousness, and then trust God to add to you as a gracious reward because you truly have a heart after his own. I pray that you are encouraged and charged by that word. And I pray that as we close out this 5 and 5, and as you move forward in 2024, that the Lord will continue to open your eyes and sober your heart and light you on fire, light your spirit on fire for the things of his kingdom. As we are all here preparing for eternity, that we would prepare well and that we would become so ingrained because we are grafted in and because we are one with Christ, that the burdens and the desires of his heart would become the burdens and the desires of our heart. Ladies, God richly bless you. And if it be his will, I will see you all again here on the She's Mark podcast in February. And I would be mistaken to assume that everyone that listens to my podcast is saved, is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are curious about this Jesus, if you're wondering about this Savior who desires to have you reconciled to Him, this free gift of salvation can be yours. Acts 4:12 says, "There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." There are other things in this world that can bring comfort for a time. They can bring happiness for a time. They may even seem to bring satisfaction and fulfillment. But the key word in everything that I just said is for a time. But there is a fulfillment, a redemption, a cleansing, a saving, a reconciliation, and a love that surpasses time, where we are reconciled to the creator of our souls, who is God, the God of the universe. And we are reconciled to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He shed His blood for us in our place, because the wages of sin is death, and we deserved to die for our sins. God loved us so much that He sent us Yeshua, our Messiah, because He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that everyone should come to repentance. And to repent is to recognize, like Solomon did in a sense, he recognized his weakness, he recognized his state. When we recognize that our sin defiles us, and not only does it defile us, but it makes us enemies with God. And not only does it make us enemies with God, but it separates us from Him. Yeshua shed His blood in our place so that we don't have to be eternally separated from God unless we choose to. If you choose to be reconciled to God, if you choose to be cleansed from your sins, if you choose this wonderful gift of salvation, it comes through Jesus and Jesus alone. You have to confess your sins, awareness of your state. You have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You have to believe that He came, that He is, that He died for you. You have to believe in what He did on the cross for you. And then you have to commit. Remember in episode 40, mind sober, heart soft, feet planted. You have to begin growing in your walk in relationship with Him. This gift can be yours today if you just pray and ask Him to forgive you. If you confess Him with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Ladies, I'm so thankful that you all joined me this week. And I'm so grateful to have you here with me on this journey toward emotional healing, restoration, and holiness. Until next time.